of the Human Relations Commission for the City of Tucson. This meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19 to protect the public health and allow for social distancing. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely, we appreciate all commissioners and guests do the following. Mute yourself until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving the meeting so that we can track quorum. To comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by roll call using audio and will not use the chat function. Let's have roll call. Commissioner Dalton.
Here.
Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner June Webb Binieri.
Here.
Commissioner Molina.
Here.
Commissioner Gomez.
Here.
And Commissioner Guzman, here. Agenda item, well, okay, so introduction of our new member, Melissa Gomez. Welcome. We're so pleased to have you here. And if we can just do a quick introduction, and then I'll have everyone go around as well, just a little bit about maybe what gives you drive to participate in this mission that we're working on.
Sure. Thank you. My name is Melissa Gomez. I am from Tucson. My parents, Maria Gomez and Gabino Gomez, were from Chihuahua, Mexico, so I'm first generation Chicana. I have a Bachelor's of Arts in Psychology from the University of Arizona, proud Wildcat. I was there at the U of A. I was a member of MECHA and a founder of a Latina sorority, so very connected to my Mexican and Latina roots. I'm currently working on a master's in public administration from USC. Currently, I'm a project director at Amistades, which is a Latino-led, Latino-serving nonprofit, and I've been in this field for the last 10 years. I'm honored to serve as a member of this commission, and I would like to thank Ward 2 for their appointment. I am very dedicated to giving back to the Tucson community, and I feel like the diverse background of the city is what gives it its strength. And I am aligned with the mission to encourage mutual understanding, respect, and cooperation among the beautiful, diverse group that is in this community. So thank you. Thank you, everyone. And I'm excited to get to work.
Wonderful. Yes, welcome again. We're very, very pleased to have you here. John Dalton, why don't you go next? I'm just going through my screen here.
Yep. John Dalton, vice chair of the commission, previously served as chair a couple years ago. I can't remember when. It's been a while. And I was born in Tucson, raised in Michigan, but I'm back in Tucson, of course, although I'm sitting in my car in Phoenix. also background is Hispanic. I'm Mexican on my mother's side, and her family is from, she was from Guadalajara, but my family's in Guaymas, so definitely proud of that. And obviously serving on the Human Relations Commission on issues, you know, diversity, discrimination, and especially the times that we're, you know, have lived in the past recently, but also, you know, moving forward, it's something that we definitely need to keep in the current minds of people, just because something hasn't happened, you know, in the news doesn't mean we shouldn't be paying attention to the situations and things happening in our community in terms of discrimination all the time. So proud to serve, and, you know, Mani, Cedric, June, Adrian, and some of the, you know, there's other commissioners in the past too that have just done amazing work in the city, and it's a privilege to work with all of you. And now with you, Melissa, as well.
Thank you.
Dr. June.
Oh, I'm so happy to see you. Welcome. And my PhD is in history. Actually, my dissertation was Mexican-American history, Tucson. It was published by Columbia University after it was turned down by the U of A, as a matter of fact. That was way back when. I helped set up the Affirmative Action Program for the city of Tucson and have been chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, the Arizona Advisory Council, and I just have been involved in human relations for at least 50 years.
Thank you. Cedric?
All right, so Cedric Smith, I am obviously African-American, or the term is starting to change to American Descendant of Slavery, the institution. That's what I prefer. I have an MBA in Human Resource Organizational Structure, as well as a degree in Aviation Maintenance. I'm currently working with programs at Raytheon, dealing with the logistical side of things, prior vet. And basically, I just wanted to get involved with the community. I'm also a member of the Force Review Board. I'm actually looking to go to a higher board, if that makes sense, because I feel like the Force Review Board is good, but I want the decisions that the community make to have more impact, and I want to be involved in those decisions. So there's multiple boards. There's like the CERB, which I think is the next level up from the FERB, and I just want to keep climbing up and getting involved in that. But again, I just, you know, wanted to get involved with the community and give back. So,
thank you. Adrian?
Welcome, Melissa. So glad to have you on the commission. My name is Adrian Molina. Native from Arizona, born in Morenci, Arizona. My family background is Hispanic, and majority of my adult life was spent in, I went to school at the College of Santa Fe and lived in Santa Fe most of my adult life. Where I was doing public health with the first onsets of HIV and AIDS in the 80s and 90s over there. I moved to Tucson in 2000, moved back home to be closer to family, and I started doing behavioral health work here. That's been my background. I do crisis intervention for a company called Centene Corporation, and I do placements. So that's kind of what I do right now. My involvement here is as an appointment or a liaison person for the LGBT city commission, and that's as I identify as a gay male, and I am just happy to see whatever we can do to make this beautiful city even more diversified than what it is already. It has a very strong gay presence and gay leadership here that has made it a very welcoming city for many years, but as things, you know, ebb and flow, you know, we always got to be vigilant to all the discriminations we see and all the different groups of people that call this fine place home. So I'm proud to be part of this commission and look forward to working with everyone as usual. So thank you.
Thank you. And again, my name is Manny Guzman, privileged to be our chair. And I have been in Tucson now about 25 years. Home is Superior, Arizona, a couple hours north of here. But I went to school at the University of Arizona for religious studies with a business admin minor, which you know, was a good old anthropology degree at a public university, and been in nonprofit faith-based organizations most of my adult life. I used to work for Luz Social Services with Ricardo Hasso, so I'm very familiar with Amistades and the philosophy there, and You know, it was also my formation as a person just trying to navigate what it means to be a seventh generation Arizonan, you know, and then beyond that, the records weren't really kept, but same area, and yet the borders changed and all the dynamics that come with that. And so my work in the community has been through primarily the Cesar Chavez Holiday Coalition, also a board member of Las Adelitas. Again, trying to figure out ways that we can engage with our people at the grassroots level. That's what kind of stirs my fire, so we can make some changes. So, again, welcome. So good to have you. And thank you, commissioners, for sharing a little bit about yourselves and, of course, of your time for being here, and also your patience as we continue to do this virtually. You know, in some ways it makes it easier, and the others it's you lose the human connection. But I think that each of us are involved in the community in our own ways to make sure that's still happening in our lives. So, okay, agenda item 3, approval of minutes, meeting of February 16, 2022. Have a motion and a second to approve as submitted or with amendments.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Any comments, questions? Did you get a chance to review them, Melissa? Yep. Okay. Yeah, we've been doing a little bit of meta stuff. Okay, we have to do a roll call vote. So, Commissioner Gomez, your first vote to approve the minutes.
Mr. Corrales said that he hadn't received my oath yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's just participating as a non-voting member today. She can't vote, and she doesn't count towards quorum, but she should be ready to go for the April meeting.
All right.
Thanks, Manny. Sorry about that. You hadn't logged in when I had explained that to her. So,
okay.
You're good to go, though. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem. I would suggest, Melissa, doing that virtually with the clerk's office instead of getting a notary. It's very quick.
I had mentioned it to her, but since she had already sent it, it was already in the works.
Okay.
The notarized way, but she knows for next time.
Okay.
Thanks, Manny. Sorry about that.
No problem. All right. Commissioner Webinieri.
Yes.
Commissioner Smith.
Yes.
Commissioner Molina.
Yes.
Commissioner Dalton.
Yes.
Commissioner Guzman, yes. Minutes are approved. All right, chairperson summary of current events. There's a couple of things that I wanted to let commissioners know about. The University Religious Council is going to be hosting a COVID-19 memorial next Wednesday, the 23rd of March, and they're having two different ones on the mall. One's from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then the other is 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. There hasn't really been a formal memorial on campus for people lost, and so this was the Religious Council's efforts, now that you know, students are back from spring break, to kind of mark this. And you know, it's been 2 years, and so just a little bit of a public forum for coming together and a little bit of grieving, but also, again, just support and being together. The other thing is the Cesar Chavez Holiday Coalition is, I apologize, I had all this ready to go, and then I was late getting home. For this year's celebration, they're going to be doing a also a vigil for labor, people that have participated in labor who have been lost in this pandemic. That's going to be on Thursday, March 31st at 6 p.m. at Rudy Garcia Park, which is on 5001 South Nogales Highway. And it's going to be a community ofrenda. So they're going to invite members of the community to build the altar, the ofrenda for, again, for those lost during the pandemic. So little by little, in-person events are starting to ramp back up. Commissioner's summary of current events. So, Commissioner Gomez, this is just an opportunity for each of us to bring in information that we have in the community that helps support the mission. And, you know, because this is recorded, it's also available to the public, you know, for those who view these afterwards to be aware of what's going on. So really any facet of the community that you know, falls in line with the mission would be an opportunity here to share. Does anyone have anything?
Oh, yes, I do. This is Commissioner Webinieri. And Pima County Interfaith worked very diligently to get Proposition 2020-208 on the ballot. And due to the Arizona Supreme Court and Judge Hanna, it was thrown off the ballot. Now, that was to bring money to public schools. And it went against the will of the voters. And at the same time, the legislature, and I'm sorry, I'm having a lot of allergies, but the legislature is now looking at a measure to schools to take over our poorly performing public schools that are getting a D or an F, and that would affect schools right here in Tucson. And this is major, it's bad, and I'm very, very concerned about it, and so is Pima County Interfaith.
All right. Unmuted. On my end, there's an event. It's currently in the planning stages, but it's set for March 30th at the university. So it'll be myself as well as the Consul General of Ukraine, and we're going to be speaking with the Russian Studies Department. They're going to be hosting a conversation on the situation over there. And my connection to it's through the United Nations Association, and I serve on the National Council for them and chair the group on, it's pretty long, it's Refugees, Humanitarian Relief, and Crisis Response. So obviously that's one of the most current things happening, so I'll keep you guys up to date with anything dealing with that. It's been obviously a very complicated past couple weeks. And yesterday, actually had the opportunity to meet the Russian opposition leader in Phoenix, and lots of interesting insight. But I'll leave it at that, and I think that's all for me.
When was that event, John?
March 30th is when it's scheduled to probably be in the evening. But I'm not, we're going to finalize it on Friday.
Okay.
And you're all invited. And, if people do come, obviously, Jaime, we know to, potentially do a quorum, what is it called? You know, where we might have quorum.
A public notice where quorum may be established outside of the commission. I can prepare one Just in case. Can I get that information again? It's March 30th.
March 30th, 6 p.m., University of Arizona. Things will be finalized Friday, so as to, like, location and the exact time.
If I can get you, Mr. Dalton, to send me the information, I'll turn around and I'll forward it to all the commission, to the commissioners, and then I can do the PNS, the public notice statement, basically, is what it is. And it's just something that gets posted on our website, like the agenda, that's just advising the general public that you may establish a quorum, but you're not going to discuss HRC issues. You're just going to attend this event as individuals. So, and like I said, if you can send me the information, email it to me, I'll forward it to every commissioner, and then I'll create the PNS, and we'll upload it, and you guys should be good.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Any other items? Right, commissioners report and discussion. So these are our subcommittees that we have. We are not, they're not like official as far as like being in bylaws and whatnot. These are just sort of ongoing initiatives that we have, and we have the freedom to create new ones as we decide on what our priorities are. So the Rosa Parks and Ray Davies funds. Any report, Commissioner Molina?
I don't have any updates for us at this time.
Okay. So just a little orientation, Commissioner Gomez. The Community Foundation for Southern Arizona holds two endowments in the name of Ray Davies, who was a very prominent chair of this commission, and activists in the community and really globally. And so he also helped establish a scholarship in Rosa Parks' name and was instrumental in getting her to visit Tucson and do some organizing here. And so there are scholarships in both their names. And so the Community Foundation administrates those funds. So we don't have to, you know, really do anything except our diligence to remain connected to these efforts. And in the past, we've been given the names of the recipients so we can recognize them at mayor and council, and you know, just ways of promoting these young people who are making an impact among their peers, which is the eligibility criteria for those scholarships. So strategic planning.
Nothing nothing right now, but I have something for procurement when that comes up.
Okay. Yep, so strategic planning, again, this is our chance to set our agendas. You're going to learn that there's lots of red tape with the commission structure. So it's important for us to be creative and patient. It can be discouraging at times, when you're dealing with open meeting laws, which, you know, are there for a reason. But good communication helps us to be able to, for example, put things on the agenda ahead of time for actionable items. So, you know, if you all ever have something that, you know, you want to be an action item, you can always send those to me and I'll make sure that they get put on the agenda. And we're very grateful for Jaime's work with us. You know, not every commission has a representative from the city clerk's office, and Jaime and his predecessors have been very, very faithful to helping us navigate this process and answer questions where we have them, and of course telling us if we can't do something. But again, it's important for us to be as creative as we can to be able to move the agendas. We have the capacity to make recommendations to mayor and council. We have the capacity to speak in the name of the HRC as long as, you know, we vote, you know, there's an agenda item, like, for example, an op-ed, you know, if there's an agenda item and we approve language, you know, things can go out in the name of the HRC, press releases, things like that. But again, our role is advice and consent to mayor and council. You know, we're able to recommend study session items. We have a legal responsibility in our charter, which has only really happened once in my entire time on this commission, where if there's a dispute with someone who is in public housing, they have the opportunity to petition to this commission for a final ruling. So, you know, if you get a chance to look at our data sheets on the commission's website, you know, that it's very rare, but it is part of our like legal structure is to be a final determination board if there is a dispute between a resident and housing authorities. Do you have any questions about that? About any planning or anything like that?
No, but I'm going to do my homework. I did research and I did download a lot of documents.
Great. Jaime?
I just wanted to let Ms. Gomez know that I'll provide her a new member packet, which has your bylaws. It has your data sheets. It has information that will help you with the duties and the responsibilities of the HRC. I have your mailing address on the roster, so I'll get that out to you as soon as possible. In fact, I'll probably do it tomorrow because I have my master's, so I just need to make a copy of everything, and I'll get it out to you. Does anybody else need a packet as a refresher? Okay. Ms. Gomez, I'll send that out to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity report. Commissioner Smith.
Yeah, so I reached out. I called around a little bit trying to gather some data. And I finally spoke. I can't remember who I spoke with. But long story short, Pima County in the city, they have a website to where you can you know, request, you have to log in, create an account, and request what type of data you want. I did do that concerning, you know, wealth statistics by age, race, also businesses owned by industry, and a couple other factors, including like, you know, everything from like real estate to like pensions and stuff like that. But they did reply back saying that Pima County, that is, I haven't got to the city yet, but Pima County reached back stating that they need me to clarify because they don't believe they could provide that type of information, which I find odd, because if the Fed Reserve can get it, then I'm not sure why the city or county can't. But so what I'm going to do either tonight or probably tomorrow or Friday, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of really just break everything down line by line on what I'm asking for and then resubmit it. I'm going to start with the county first, and then if it goes through the county, then I'll use that same verbiage to go through the city. So right now, I would just say it's still in work as far as what I'm trying to gather. Yeah.
So part of our mandate, Commissioner Gomez, is to study trends. and what we've done in the past is we've looked at police and fire with respect to, you know, ethnicity, gender, disability status, all of those things. And, you know, it's been a few years now since we did our last report, but we were in conversation with at the time, Chief Magnus, you know, with respect to the police department. And so, You know, part of our findings were that they were doing a decent job at the hiring, but they were failing at retention and promotions. And so, you know, the work that we're trying to restart now is just a little bit more analysis on, you know, what's going on nowadays and not necessarily just those two departments. All right, human rights standards in procurement. John?
Yeah, I don't know if you got it. I sent it within the last probably like 30 minutes, but I sent it to Jaime and as well as you as chair. Some stuff, I don't know if you've gotten it or not, because it kept, I shared it, but when I went to check if it shared, it just kept saying like error, but it shows that it's been shared. So I check your email and let me know, but it's, there's more documents to what, unless the whole file got, shared with both of you. I tried sharing one or two documents individually just to make sure. But when I get home, you know, I could probably do it from a computer and hopefully if it didn't work, hopefully it works. And,
yeah, I see
what
it.
What else? Okay, cool. Is it the whole file or is it just like a, or a couple documents?
It's the Board of Appeals process overview.
Okay, then I'll have to...
An agenda from a meeting.
Yeah, I probably was just testing.
Six years ago, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, I was probably just testing that one. Okay, so yeah, when I get home, then I will share... I'm trying to share the whole file itself with everything in it. There's a whole bunch of randomness. I haven't gone through all of it, but some of it's multi-pages, some of it two, three... and that's what I was attempting to share, but again, it just keeps like being weird. So I might have to just do it from a computer.
Yeah, you can share. You can share folder.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it looks like mine is taking a minute to download, so I might have gotten the full file.
In okay, fact, and it's also on
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I showed 10 documents.
Okay, so. I might have to, like I said, I'll probably have to do it from the computer just to make sure it actually works right. And let me think what else. Yeah, that should be about it. And I'll keep searching to see if there's anything else left in floating around my drive because it's on Google Drive. So that might be why I may have an issue. I don't know if you guys have that on the TucsonAZ.gov emails or not.
We
G Suite or whatever.
We do.
Perfect. So it
yeah, and to be honest with everybody, this is one of those projects that is long term. It's also something that rattles a lot of cages. At least that was our experience when we were dealing with this full steam ahead. So there is no human rights standards in the procurement code right now. And this came to us as part of a G4S coalition to begin with. They were opposing one contract, the security contract for public buildings. And as we were looking at this, you know, we realized that there was really nothing written into the code that says, you know, that anyone that wants to do business with the city should at least uphold these basic things, especially if they're global corporations. And so, you know, we had done some work with the Friends Services Committee to help develop this system. And so it's been simmering, but I can tell you that once we take this on, it is going to be something that we need to be educated about, clear, and expect pushback. From all different levels, not just members of mayor and council, but the procurement office and all kinds of places. So John, thank you for sharing those folders. As soon as we get everything compiled, Jaime, if you can make sure it gets sent out to everybody, just so that way we can all start doing our homework and have some focused conversations around these things. Okay, item 8, update regarding Commission on Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Issues. Is there an update?
My understanding was, oh, this is Adrian. My understanding is they had a meeting last 2 weeks ago, and unfortunately, I don't know how I didn't know about it. And I wasn't able to attend it, so they didn't have quorum. So I never got any details if anything else happened. John, did you guys happen to talk about anything? I mean, I know you can't, but I mean, was there any, another date set?
Off agenda, anything off agenda? I think there is a new commissioner. I don't know if they had gotten done the oath or not, but nothing, you know, too crazy. I mean, obviously just the quorum situation, but I mean, it's not just you, it's obviously getting appointments through to have that, you know, good buffer there too, is make sure that we can meet even if there are some people missing. And I mean, with, in our case here with Melissa, we have that at least one, one extra just in case. But yeah, it was just basically just, you know, pressure council members to appoint more people. Same thing with our own commission here, and I'm sure that'll probably come up in vacancy report stuff and the agenda coming down the list in a minute. And just for reference, Melissa, I'm the Human Relations Commission commissioner person to the GLBT commission, whereas Adrian is theirs to us. And we do have a vote and count towards four.
Yeah, the way this was set up was like a reciprocal relationship. So that way information was flowing clearly. And we just have been plagued by quorum issues. And hopefully that's in the past. Adrian, did you submit the request to transfer to this commission based like on one of the ward offices, or was that still pending? You're muted.
Well, I was talking to you and forgot I was on mute. That's still pending. I haven't submitted anything yet and haven't made any changes yet.
Okay. Alrighty. Item 9, census data analysis discussion. This came up a couple of times just around anyone who has common sense knows that the census was severely affected by the pandemic. It was also affected by policy decisions related to citizenship and funding removal for door walkers. And I know I recently read an article that, again, the common sense, but at least we've got some statistics happening around minority communities being disproportionately affected by these undercounts and what is then going to exacerbate funding level disparities that are already in place. And so we've had this on the agenda as a way of making sure that this isn't something that's going to severely impact our community? And are there ways that our voice can be heard in a conversation around, I mean, it's a failure, really, the breakdown of the system for the 2020 census. I've been thinking about, you know, is there a way for, you know, mayor and council to be able to advocate at the federal level on behalf of Tucson to say, you know, it's really not fair to use those counts, and could they be extrapolations instead, looking at trends with more current data? I've just been trying to wrap my head around some ways that Tucson can advocate for, you know, for better representation here. Yes, Dr. Webinary.
I was executive director of the Metropolitan Education Commission, and we use the city legislative liaison to the legislature on subject matters such as this.
I'm sorry, you were cutting out, so I didn't catch all of that.
The city has a legislative liaison, as does the county. And that's one way to reach into the state and the federal.
So if I heard that there's a legislative liaison that could be tasked with questions,
yes,
around these things.
I'm going to recommend maybe under future agenda items as well, but it's related to the topic of this line item, but is having that added to an agenda where we could have a request to that legislative, well, for mayor and council to direct, I guess, them to make that request or advocate for what we're just talking about, because that way it'll be a full action for our part, mm-hmm, to request or to recommend to council that happen. If that happens, well, I'm assuming they would take direction of what city council says they should do. So in turn, having that topic brought up, because I'm assuming that legislative liaison is almost kind of like a advocate, lobbyist type person for the city. That's kind of what I'm guessing.
Yeah, because I think the way the agenda item is worded right now, it's just discussion. So, Jaime, if we can amend our next agenda item to say, you know, action regarding census undercounts.
Give me one second. Okay, what was that again?
Action regarding 2020 census undercounts.
Got it. This is for the next meeting, right, Manny?
Yes.
For future agendas. Got it.
Yeah, I think our intention is to, for all of us, to go back and study this a little bit over these next weeks, you know, get some data behind our advocacy, and then, you know, what is it that we are recommending to mayor and council, right? If we know that, you know, at least the articles that I'm looking at, that Black, Latino, and Native American populations were hit the hardest, and we know that Tucson was severely affected in all those cases. I also read that home ownership was also skewed. So owners were overcounted and renters were undercounted, which, you know, with respect to the housing crisis and inflation and rent control and all of these things in our community, you know, all of it's kind of swirling together. Any other points on that? Invitation of Police Chief Kazmar to attend HRC. I actually had a couple of calls into his office, and I've noticed that he's been participating in some online forums over the last month. And I guess the question is, are we at this point where we want to invite him next month? He was not, they definitely weren't available for this month. But are we looking at April? Do we want, is it April? Is it May?
I say the sooner the better, in my opinion. I did sit in a NAACP meeting, and he attended, and they were, you know, just had, it was kind of like an open forum, stuff like that. But as for us, I would think that the sooner the better. So if we could get him in April, I would like to shoot for that.
I'm cool with that. And if we want to call it a forum, you know, maybe it'll make him want to come.
Well, and I think part of it is if he's participating in other forums, what's unique about this body is that, you know, we have some specific things that relate to our mission that can be addressed and, or at least highlighted in a way that he understands that, you know, we take those pieces of the job description seriously. And by job description, I mean the police chief's job description. You know, it's an accountability thing around what our expectations are.
And it gets them on the record, you know, on specifics, you know, other things.
Okay, so Jaime, I will follow up with a formal request with the clerk's office to be sent to the chief's office for the April meeting. And if that is confirmed, then it would need to be an agenda item and a if you can share the meeting ID and whatnot with his staff.
I'll reach out to his EA once I hear from you. And You wanted to do it in a formal letter, you said?
Well, can it be an email?
Yeah, that's fine. That's so if you would, please send it to the clerk's office so we can log it, and then we'll forward it to directly to the chief and his EA, and that way they can work out the details among themselves.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Agenda item 11, vacancy and advisory positions. I'm going to combine 11 and 12. So it's funny. The staffers must have been talking to each other because I heard from quite a few of them in the last 3 weeks. And you know, it was excellent to be able to get Commissioner Gomez appointed from Ward 2. I think we have a pending interest letter to Ward 1. Is that right, Jaime?
Yes. Well, it's just
the so applicant resides in Ward.
Exactly, and we still also have Commissioner Molina's interest in becoming a member of the HRC directly versus a liaison for the LGBT. Right. So, Mr. Molina, have you had any luck with that?
No, I've not. And that's on my part. I've not been able to follow up on it over the last 3 weeks. I was out of town.
Okay. So yeah, like I had mentioned to you before, if you can just follow up with the application that's on the website, Once BCCs receives it, we can send it to Ward 1 and Ward 6, who are the wards who still have vacancies, and hopefully we can get you appointed.
Hey, real quick, honey, what is Ward 1? I spoke with the individual today, asking them to make sure they call into the office to make sure everything was good to go, that nothing was lacking. Is there anything that additional that needs to happen?
So no, once we receive the application, like I said, we process it, we log it into the system, and then we forward it to the ward offices that have vacancies. So the only thing that that person would need to do would be reach out to Councilmember Santa Cruz's office and just express that this individual lives in Ward 1 and would be interested in representing Ward 1 on the HRC. And then I don't know what Councilmember Santa Cruz's protocol is, whether she'd want to meet or you know, some sort of formal introduction. But that would definitely be a good start, is to reach out to Ward 1.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I told them to do. So,
my apologies. I got disconnected when I walked from one room to the next. So I just got back on.
Thank you.
Yep. So, Adrian, I would suggest reaching out to Ward 6 office directly, because they are the other vacancy, and let's try and get the other applicant who resides in Ward 1 through to I know that Councilmember Santa Cruz has a separate commission interest form on her website, and I'm not sure if that's the same one as the city clerk's office.
I will work on that in the next 3 days.
I'm not sure what Councilmember Santa Cruz has. I can look and double check. But as far as Commissioner Molina, you can go ahead and just use the one we have on the city clerk's website and just forward it to the link provided. And again, I'll let the AA who oversees that email to let me know once it's been received and forwarded to Ward 6. And we can go from there. I'll reach out to you and let you know and stay in communication with you. That way you'll know when to follow up and how to proceed.
I appreciate that. I will work on that in the next 3 days.
Thank you.
Hi, may I just put a link in the chat to the Ward 1 office's form that they have on their website. And so again, I don't know if that's something that you all are seeing at the clerk's office, but if there's two places that people are applying, it doesn't really matter to me as long as as long as they're getting moved through for appointments.
Yeah, let me see. Usually, like I said, if it's the same application, if it's the same application that we use, then it would definitely fall under the same. So maybe her office forwards it to BCCs. I'm not too sure on her process. It's not letting me access it. Let's see now.
Yeah, I just don't want the other application to get lost in the shuffle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There we go.
What was the individual's name again, Commissioner Smith?
Let me see real quick, because I did it through Facebook. I put the post out. So it is Miranda Hicks.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it is, Manny. I think it's linked to the same. It's through the City of Tucson website, so I think it has the same link.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's the same application. So, definitely, this would be a good way for Ms. Hicks' application to kind of work its way through. Yeah, it's the same link. So you click onto it, and it'll take you to the city clerk's page.
Okay. All right. So it's just persistence at this point. but at least, you know, now we know it's the Ward 1 office and the Ward 6 office.
And I think Adrian's probably going to best be with Ward 6 just because I think Kozacek is very, he likes to see at least the background in the issues that we would be facing or any commission really. And he's kind of, he's meticulous about those little details. And since you've already been part of the HRC as well as the GLBT, I think that would hopefully satisfy him. and make sure to tell him that we've been doing more.
I will.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, you will remember I talked with him. And he said we weren't doing anything. So that's the reason he was not providing someone. He got feedback from other people who had been on the HRC.
Yeah, I think, again, it's a negative feedback loop when we're dealing with quorum issues. And so it's the chicken and the egg thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel better positioned than we were last month and the month before that. So we will, what I'm going to try and do is forward for application to my contacts at Ward 1 and see if that helps shake anything out there. We'll see what happens. Okay. Any other future agenda items? Should we put something in about, refugee, especially if there's any relief things happening with respect to Ukrainian refugees or other actions? I'm thinking out loud here. So
I think it might be a good idea. Maybe even keep it just general to refugees, because I know there's also the kind of gone into the background, but the Afghanistan, we have some, I believe, if I'm not mistaken here, can't recall, but I believe we do. And so that might be just the general topic of refugees and whatever, needs or whatever that they might have.
Okay. Part of what we can do is restore an agenda item that used to be here, Jaime, for immigrant welcoming city designation and refugee advocacy. That's what we can add it and make that a standing agenda item. That used to be on our agendas.
Individual or is it one item?
Yeah, I think one item. It used to be there because we are an immigrant welcoming city. Designee, like that's an official title. Okay.
So immigrant welcoming city, refugee
advocacy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that got taken off when we were having a little fit with the county attorney's office around sanctuary cities.
I just sorry, it was just wanted to angle them.
Yeah. So yeah, let's make sure that gets put back on our agenda. And again, you know, for homework for us, it's just being aware of what are trends, if there are things that are being reacted to. You know, it's important. Like, what are stress points in the community, right? Because those are things that work against unity and mutual understanding, right? So, you know, just talking out loud, I know housing is a big thing that I'm seeing with respect to like exponential raising of rent for renters. So things like that, you know, these are all pieces that we can certainly, if we feel like mayor and council should weigh in on these things, then those are acceptable for us to have agenda items.
And you mentioned I don't know if that should be something on the next agenda, but unless it's already kind of been addressed, is the rent situation that did happen recently with members of the senior community, I believe. And I don't know if that's something we want to touch, but I can't recall the full background details on that.
Wait, what was that, John? I'm sorry, I caught the tail end of when I heard you say senior citizens.
Yeah, there was a company that came in from California and raised the rent
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He raised it to 52%. Yep. He's been doing that. That same individual and group did that also in Vegas. And because California has a law in place to where you can't raise it above 10%, I think it is. And since Arizona does not, what these individuals in California do is they go from state to state and they'll buy these complexes, and then they will raise the rent to like 50, 52% in this case. And then what happens is the senior citizens, because they're on a flat income, they can't afford it. So then they have to move, and then you move in other individuals to where they can't afford it. It's evil, in my opinion. I'm just going to be honest. I think that's just evil. And it really irks me that we don't have anything in place, especially senior citizens. I wouldn't want it done to a younger generation, anyone, period. But, like, senior citizens?
That's, yeah, bottom of the barrel. You're trying to
make it. He's doing it from other states as well. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, so I don't know if we want to address that or have a broader agenda item that would cover situations like that and other things. I don't know how to word that really, but.
I think housing disparity and, you know, rent. I know the renters, there's a tenant union here. You know, it's Monterey Gardens, which is the property that is kind of the flashpoint for this. You know, they're having you know, a little bit of a protest and advocacy raising March 22nd from 4 to 6. And so, you know, if we feel like this is worthy of us, you know, having mayor and council again, we're representative of a community voice. Okay. So we can put something on the agenda if we would like mayor and council to address these things.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure if they had already or not, but in case they haven't, I thought, why not mention it?
Yeah. So let's put that on there just to be safe. It's easier to table an agenda item than, and it's impossible to add one at the last minute. So let's put housing and rental rates as an agenda item for next time. Anything else?
I do. I have something to say. So it looks like Mayor and Council is discussing going back to in-person meetings, which means that once Mayor and Council is meeting in person, then BCCs should follow. So if everybody's still okay with the previous setup, City Hall, and we used to meet in the Mayor and Council chambers, same second Wednesday of the month.
We would meet in their boardroom.
Yeah, the conference room, sorry. Yeah. So as of now, let's assume that everything is still going to be virtual. If anything changes between now and before the next agenda comes out, then I'll definitely reach out to you guys. We can still have the option, I believe. And again, this is all still in the process of opening back up. But I'm not sure, and I believe this is something that was being discussed, that it could be a hybrid type of meeting. So where some commissioners could be in person and other commissioners could join virtually. For our commission, it's a pretty small commission. So again, I don't know what everybody's more comfortable with, but I'll definitely let you guys know once a decision has been made from the higher up.
I would appreciate Jaime, you know, just some advocacy around the option for hybrid, mm-hmm. especially for the smaller commissions that have quorum issues.
Absolutely.
You know, if someone can come in on Teams or on a phone, mm-hmm. You know, that we didn't have that ability before this pandemic, but it would be nice to be able to have that option moving forward so we can function. You know, we're volunteers and you know, it's like if we can help raise participation in government through these commissions to open up the process, that would be the way that I would say, you know, please push for that.
Yeah. And I think that management is actually very much on board with it as well. But I'll definitely, like I said, keep you guys updated as soon as I know something. That way it's defined for everybody and everybody knows what to expect. Just real quick on item 10 and item 12, I'm going to leave those items on the agenda until the chief has had the chance to attend and following up with the letter to mayor and council. Again, once the letters go out and they've confirmed that they'll be attending, and the mayor and council letter for the HRC vacancies have gone out, then I'll remove them. But that still gives you guys the option to discuss if any changes need to happen or whatever.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I guess let me ask the question about in-person meetings. Just saying that we move to in-person as of next month, is 6:15 workable for people to be able to get to City Hall in time for an in-person meeting?
I don't see that to be an issue, but I have a quick question too. Is there like a certain, like, do I have to be in business, casual business?
No.
Shorts, no. T-shirt is fine because it's getting hot.
You just got to go through a metal detector to get in.
Okay.
No, there's no protocol around a dress code that I'm aware of.
No, there isn't.
So we have traditionally met the second Wednesdays of each month at 6:15. We knew that we weren't going to be able to meet quorum last week, so that's why we moved the meeting to today. Is everyone good with returning to our regular order in April? So it would be
April 13th.
April 13th.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
That will work on my part.
Okay. All right, so we will return to the regular order at that time, and as Jaime said, he'll let us know if we're shifting back to in-person or if we'll remain virtual. All right. Well, thank you all again for your time and your care of our community. And, you know, that again, let's be creative. If you have items that you want to add to the agenda, send those to me and I'll make sure it gets over to Jaime. And we'll keep chugging along. So, the time is 7:38. This meeting is adjourned. Have a good evening, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. See you in a couple weeks.
We'll do. Have a good one. Thanks.